Rod's Pulse Podcast, number 83, E-Readers. Are we there yet? Interview with Scott Badenkopf, part two.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back. That little teaser was a clip from a recording called Winter Moon by Rhonda Lawrence, New Age Viola. I think you'll really like the song, and please stay tuned at the end of my podcast, and you can hear the full song, Winter Moon. Well, I have three interesting picks from my podcaster guide in e-learning news. Don't forget, you can get the URLs of everything I discuss on my show notes of my podcast. The first one is a link to a complete guide to Google Wave. Now, I've mentioned Google Wave in the past. I really don't have a lot of experience with it yet. I think a lot of folks are still trying to figure out what it really is. The guide should really help. The complete guide to Google Wave is written by Gina Trapani, and it's available to read free on the web. It's an interesting business plan she has. You can also buy a preview edition PDF of the book for, I think, only $6. You can download the entire book. It's bound to be a work in progress because Wave is certainly changing as we speak, and it's still really in I guess, a beta stage, but a lot of folks are really excited about it. So if you want to learn more about Google Wave, check out the complete guide to Google Wave. The second item I want to bring to your attention is the use of social media in the classroom. I saw an article about Hot Seat. It's an application that Purdue University has put together, and it allows students to collaborate and ask questions of their professor in and outside of the classroom. Now, they can use Twitter or Facebook or any mobile-enabled phone to submit questions in this social networking app called Hot Seat, and allow students to vote on questions that they like. So it looks pretty interesting. There's a link to the article and also a link to the information page about Hot Seat at Purdue University. The third item I wanted to talk about was yet another social bookmarking system. If you recall in the past, I've talked about Delicious. In fact, I use that to bookmark websites that I see that I'm interested in, that I want to keep and talk about on my podcast. There are other systems like that. Dig is a popular one. This one is kind of confusing because it's called Digo, D-I-I-G-O. It's a web highlighter and sticky notes, an online bookmarking and annotation to allow you to build a personal learning network. It takes the idea of Delicious and goes one step further. As they say, you can actually not only bookmark, but you actually archive the actual page. What happens sometimes if you bookmark something in, say, Delicious, the web page may change or go away. So this actually archives the actual page. You can highlight using a yellow highlighter, and you can add notes to pages. So it looks pretty interesting. I haven't really tried it yet, and I think there's a way to use it in connection with Delicious to sort of extend the functionality of Delicious. So I'm going to look into it more and perhaps spend a little more time on it on an upcoming podcast. Okay, now for my main topic today. This is continuing an interview I did with Scott Badenkopf, Director of Academic Technology at Neumann University. a colleague and friend of mine. Last time we talked about the e-textbook publishers and what your different choices are. Today, we're going to concentrate on the ebook readers, talking mainly about the Amazon Kindle, Sony e-reader, and at the end of the interview, I'm going to update you with a couple other new developments, for example, the Barnes & Noble Nook. So here we go, my interview with Scott Badenkopf.
Okay, Scott, thanks. We enjoyed the section on about the ebook companies, the ebook publishers. What's up with the devices? How do you read these books?
Probably the invention that's most sparked this field recently is the invention of e-ink. It's a technology that black and white at this time, but has very low energy. Amazon Kindle and the Sony Reader are the two most well-known. You can see in the small pictures here for the Amazon Kindle, the e-ink is not backlit. So once you've turned a page, that page will just stay there with almost no power draw at all. And because it's reflective, not depending on backlight, it can be read in the sun. So the Amazon Kindle at this point comes in two models, the Kindle 2 and the Kindle DX, and they both have, as you can see, keyboards. Their big claim to fame is that they're wireless. You've finished a book and you are still on the train and you've got a wireless connection, you can download another book and start reading. I have friends that love their Kindles because they have the New York Times or periodical on it, really without any effort on their part, and they can read it on the train.
How much does it cost to subscribe to some of these, like the New York Times, or what's a typical price for a book?
You know, I don't know how much it costs to subscribe to the Times. I think it's less than the paper cost. Current novels, bestsellers and so forth, are the $6 to $10 range. But they can definitely be more expensive. So you can buy textbooks that will be in the, you know, over $100.
One thing that I find impressive, people, unless they get their hands on one of these, the fact that because they are 3G wireless, that you can go and take your Kindle, go to their store on the Kindle, buy a book, and have it downloaded in seconds, and start reading. So they're really tapping the people that really have no impulse control and like to buy books. And the other thing that I've heard, I haven't had the opportunity to try it, is that they also have an iPhone app. So you can be reading, say you have your big Kindle DX at home reading a novel, and when you're traveling, you can go onto your iPhone and continue reading the novel where you left off on the little iPhone screen. That's pretty convenient, pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I think that that really makes the iPhone reader much more useful, because if you have to find where you left off on your iPhone, as we discussed when we were talking about textbooks, in the iPhone the text flows, you know, so finding your place is not would not be trivial. So do you have a text reader yourself, Rob?
I've only had experience with the Kindle, and it's because I bought my wife a Kindle, and it was not the big one, but the second generation, I guess, Kindle that you have displayed there on the left side. And I'm pretty impressed with it, although she still seems to buy books. The other side of not having a backlit screen, you know, you can read it in bright sunlight, you can read it in the, on the beach, but at nighttime, when I'm trying to sleep, she still has to use a book light.
Before we go on, I just want to note that the prices here may not be the prices that will be available tomorrow. So I understand that the Kindle 2 has now been reduced to $259. I'm not sure what the Kindle DX is going for now, but these prices will vary. I have two versions of the Sony Reader, the 505, which looks kind of like the one on the left, except a little bit bigger, and the Sony 700, which is the size of the one in the middle. The 700 is very much like the Sony Touch, has a touch screen so that you can use a gesture to turn pages, which I like a lot. So I can just drag my finger on the screen from right to left to turn to the next page.
Scott, with the Sony Reader, they don't have a hard keyboard. Is there a way to make any annotations or notes in a book?
Yes, it does have a soft keyboard.
Okay.
So you can make notes. You can highlight text.
And bookmark, I guess.
Right. So when you make a note in the Sony, it will be tied to highlighted text or to a bookmark on the page. Up until now, the Sony readers have not had the wireless. So in order to purchase or download anything, you have to connect it by USB to a computer. And the only advantage that that has is that the wireless doesn't drain the battery. Sony will release a wireless 3G version December 09. This is not firm yet, though, but I expect that they'll try like the dickens to get it out. And it will also have the larger format, so they're going to try to get more newspaper and text readers onto that.
So is the Sony Daily Edition you have shown here, is that about the same screen size as the Kindle DX?
Yeah, it's about the same size. But you can see by the title, Daily Edition, they will be targeting people who want to read their times on the train. Several other manufacturers have announced e-book readers. One of the more exciting ones is a company called Plastic Logic. They've already signed up some partners, including USA Today and Barnes & Noble. And this will be aimed at business users, which makes it sound like it may have a business price rather than a student price. So if we compare these, the Kindle has market share at the moment on these e-ink readers, primarily because of its wireless capability. The Sony is a little more durable. You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and some people think the Sony is much prettier, and others think the Kindle is. The Kindle is thinner and lighter still currently.
Yeah, my impression of the Kindle is that it's almost toy-like. It's plasticky. It just doesn't have the a high-quality feel to it compared to the Sony. That's at least my impression.
The thinness is very attractive.
That's true.
I mean, I knew I could borrow Kindles from other people. I bought the Sony so that I could do, you know, review that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very eager to see what comes out in the next 6 months, because I think we'll see some, you know, some new features that will be very attractive. All of the readers so far are black and white that use e-ink. Color e-ink is still a good ways off.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rod, what do you think the most popular reader is?
I can bet that the Kindle is probably sold the most. I would think that's most popular right now.
It is definitely of the e-ink readers, but in fact, the most popular e-book reader is the iPhone. I know, a trick question. And the reason why is because there's just so many iPhones out there. So a lot of people have downloaded e-book reader apps for the iPhone and the iPod Touch. And, of course, other phones or devices like it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I love my iPhone, and I have read books. I don't get as much time as I would like, but I'll mention two apps that I've used on the iPhone. One is Stanza, and I think it was a free download. They give you a couple of complimentary books when you download it, and I don't, you know, it's so small and light, you get the iPhone, that it's great for reading on the bus or the subway or the train. You know, you just flick your finger to change pages, and the screen is bright, and so I've been very happy with that. I don't know if I would want to do a heck of a lot of reading with it, but there's that app, and recently Barnes & Noble came out with an e-reader, and they have, I know, big plans in this area, so it'd be interesting to see if they team up with devices. I think you mentioned, right, that was it Barnes & Noble that was teaming up with one of the device makers?
Right, yeah, that was the new one, Plastic Logic.
Right.
I actually did read Tarzan of the Apes on my iPod Touch. Uh-huh. I wanted to see, you know, if I could stand. And I agree with you, Rod. You know, it's a very pleasant experience. The only real drawback is that because it's backlit, it uses a lot of power. And as you know, the battery's not huge on these things.
Right.
So after reading for an hour, I would look at the battery and see that it was nearly drained.
Well, it'd be interesting. I guess one last thing to mention is that I think these specialized devices are going to get a run for their money when some of these netbooks, and of course rumored that Apple's coming out with a tablet or netbook type device. Personally, I don't think I would want to foot the bill for a dedicated book reader if I could get a netbook or some small tablet that would be able to access all these books.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Also, on the iPhone, there's now an app for CourseSmart textbooks. Since I just got those review copies of CourseSmart texts, I haven't had a chance to actually see what they look like on my iPod Touch, but I will. The reviews of the CourseSmart app are both positive and negative. So it has some nice features. So it uses the iPhone multi-touch feature so that you can, with two fingers, expand a page. The CourseSmart images on the iPhone or iPod are images of the page. So you can move the page around with your finger. You can expand and contract it. That way it maintains the page numbers, you know, so it's still a page 323 is page 323. So it has some nice navigation features, but they definitely intend it, as the slide here says, for quick peeks, not for your main studying of the text. The book reader that we haven't discussed so far are computers and laptops and desktops. Certainly you've got a lot more screen area, you've got full color, and you're using the computer for other things as well. You know, so why not? I have a tablet notebook so that I can actually put it in portrait mode, as you can see here, and hold it in one hand while I turn pages with the other. It's a little heavy. It is definitely heavier than a Kindle or a Sony reader, a lot heavier than an iPhone. E-readers, very light, low power, but black and white. They are a real good candidate for literature, for reading material that where the pictures are not a big part, and certainly color is not important. I could strongly recommend them for anybody that does a lot of reading, particularly of books that are now in the public domain. So you can download 90% of what's studied in literature classes for free now. I just made up that number, so don't hold me to that. Laptops are going to continue to be useful, and then, of course, iPods for brief periods of time. Certainly, size matters when you're looking at textbooks. Textbooks from commercial publishers have been designed with beautiful sidebars and photos that really don't come through well in any of the smaller formats. But, as you suggest, I think something like a netbook will be the e-book reader of the future.
So I hope you enjoyed the interview. We referred to Barnes & Noble and their potential new product, and since we did the interview, it's been released, or at least it's been announced. I don't think it's actually going to ship until after the first of the year. It's called the Nook, N-O-O-K. It's going to be available online through Barnes & Noble at a cost of about $259. It uses some of the same e-ink technology as the Kindle, but in addition it has a color LCD panel at the bottom, which allows you to select the book you're reading by scanning through the color covers and use for other color graphics while you're reading the book. It looks pretty interesting. It's bound to be pretty popular, but right now it's it's out of stock, and you can put in a request to get the book when it comes out in January. So I hope you enjoyed my podcast today. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for the full song Winter Moon by Rhonda Lawrence. I think you'll really like it. Till next time, have a great week.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia or any other institution or company.